be sharing part one of Love Has a Name, part one of three. But before I do that, I would love to just pray for us. So, Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Love has a name, and we see that with you, Jesus. You epitomize love. Your name, the beautiful name that we sang about during the worship, you are love. I thank you, Jesus, that we get to call your name. You've given us access to calling your name, and you call ours. Won't you give us revelation this morning of an understanding of who we are and whose we are? We love you. We bless you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is part one of three, Love Has a Name. And today's heading is Love Starts with a Name. And we're going to unpack that. But firstly, I want to ask you, how do you feel when somebody says your name? Especially if you've only ever had one or two interactions with them, so you don't feel really like you actually know them, and they call you by name. How does that make you feel? Pretty awesome, hey? You know, this a little while ago, just the other day, I was at an event, and I walked up to a lady, and we were friends on Facebook before we ever met in person. So we've had one in-person meetup. And last week at this event that we were at, she came up to me and she was like, Michelle, because she knows me more from Facebook than in person. And on Facebook, my name is Dawn Michelle Glenn. So she'd almost got it right. But it was so special that she recalled my name. So what happens is when we are learning a person's name, it is the first step towards a friendship or a relationship with them. It's the entry point to somebody's life. Perhaps the door, as you would maybe say, the doorway into something. It's the initial point from where a relationship can then proceed and grow. So love starts with a name. It's a powerful thing about knowing and remembering someone's name. When someone knows your name, it makes you feel special. Am I right? You feel loved, noticed, gives you worth, makes you feel valuable. I love acronyms, so I'm going to make a little acronym for the word name, but I'm going to have to ask you to give me a little bit of poetic license here, because under N, I'm going to use the word known. And yes, I know it starts with a K, but it sounds like an N. Okay, so N is known. A is acknowledged. When someone knows your name, you feel acknowledged. M, more than just a face. You're somebody. And E, you are embraced. Not necessarily physically, but you're embraced in their mind and in that moment. A name represents a person's story, who they are, their past, good or bad, their successes, failures, background, upbringing, occupation, parents, your tribe, your family, who you come from. A person's name and their story matter. Here's the best news, is that Jesus knows our name, he knows our story, and he loves us. Let me rephrase that. He knows our name, he knows our story, and even though he knows our story, he still loves us. Isn't that profound? Some of us have got pretty nasty stories behind our names. We're going to talk out of Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. That's the story we're going to chat out of. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So Jesus is passing through Jericho. Zacchaeus is in Jericho. He has collected taxes for a living, but he would overtax and he would steal money from his very own people. And because of this, you can imagine that he wasn't very well liked. In fact, he was despised, loathed, and ostracized. He wasn't just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. So he wasn't just a ripper-offer, he was a chief ripper-offer, okay? And he was despised by his fellow countrymen, and to boot, he was rich because of what he did, because of his job. Even more reason for his fellow countrymen not to like him, because he was rich at their expense. Okay, verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So Jesus, despite this large crowd, singles out Zacchaeus, knowing him by name, perhaps divine inspiration, calls him out. Now, I'm sure that there were times when Zacchaeus wouldn't like his name called out. Why? Because he could be a target for violence. Someone might want to beat him to death because of the money that he'd stolen from them. So he might not actually want his name being shared in public. But Jesus calls him out, okay? But today, he was delighted that his name had been announced and that Jesus knew his name. Verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." So the crowd's not impressed, okay? In fact, they're pretty disgusted. Jesus is going to Zacchaeus' house, this shady chief thief, tax collector, sinner. But you know what this proves about Jesus? A profound thing. Jesus is not scared or worried to call out the name of the person that others actually want to name and shame. He is not dependent on being a name dropper for the sake of popularity or political agenda, as so many people are. In fact, he throws that on its head and he does the complete opposite. In saying that, friends, he knows the names of the people in our lives. He knows the name of your ex. He knows the name of the person who's hurt you. He knows the name of our coworker who might have a different political or spiritual outlook to us. He knows the name of the neighbor who's kind, and he knows the name of the neighbor that's kind of weird, okay? He knows the name of our spouse, our children, and the spam callers that are constantly trying to get hold of us. Who is that person? He knows the name of the know-it-all, keyboard warrior, highly opinionated person on Facebook. We can see their name. He knows their name. And he knows their story and perhaps why they do that. He knows the random strangers that we cross paths with. He knows the cashiers. He even knows the name of the person who cut you off in traffic the other day. Jesus knows their names. Do we? Do we even want to? You see, what happens is when we put names with faces, people are no longer just faces in the crowd. They have value. Their lives now count for something and are as valuable as ours. The world might say otherwise. The crowd might be screaming something and shouting something different, but not Jesus. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name and was not embarrassed to call him out. It was more about Zacchaeus than it was about Jesus. And that's a brilliant example that Jesus gives us. To the crowd, Zacchaeus was labeled as a sinner, tax collector, and a thief. But to Jesus, he was Zacchaeus, worthy enough for Jesus to go and visit his home. Now you see how love starts with a name. Love pronounces value over a person and sees them, not for what they're doing, but for who they are. So often we want to stop short and we see what a person is doing, and that makes us not want to know their name. But when we see their name, it doesn't matter what, when we get to know their name, it doesn't matter what they're doing. The result, verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Do you see what happened just by having his name called? Instant repentance, instant restitution on that which he had done wrong. Instant resolve. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." See? He says he's not just Zacchaeus, he too is a son of Abraham. He's a person. He's got a story. He's got a life. He means something. That's what he declares to the crowd. This isn't just Zacchaeus the tax collector. He too is a son of Abraham. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Friends, Jesus didn't come to come and seek and save those who have got a good name. If he did, he wouldn't find many. Okay. He came for those who have lost their names, who have got shame stapled and attached to their names. That's who he came for. It doesn't matter what you've done, you still have a name. And it matters regardless of your behavior. So you might feel like you've lost your name. You might feel like you've got shame attached to your name. You might feel like your name has been defamed because of your behavior and the thing or the many things that you've done. But I tell you today, Jesus is calling out your name, and he wants to meet with you, and he wants to come to your house today, and he wants to reside in your heart. He wants to be with you. He knows your name, and he knows my name too. And I really believe that he's calling you by name today. Here are some amazing scriptures that confirm and assure us that we are known by name. From the Old Testament, Jeremiah 1 verse 5. "Before I formed you in the womb," that is before you were conceived, before you were classified as what your mom might call an oopsie or a mistake, that does not register in God's plan. You're here on purpose. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." How can you set someone apart who doesn't have a name? So-and-so, you. No. You got a name. You had a name. It was echoed and resounding in heaven before you were in your mother's womb. Isaiah 43 verse 1. "But now, this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." You are summoned by name. Isn't this beautiful as well? I have redeemed you. So stop sweating. Stop letting that sweat pour down your brow going, "I could never redeem myself from everything that I've done." Don't worry, he redeems us. He is the Redeemer. He is the King of Redemption. So you can just be free of that right now. But it'll take faith. It'll just take believing. And then it's yours. Believe and receive. Isaiah 49 verse 16 says, "See, I have written your names on the palms of my hand." Beautiful. The simplest way to love someone is to get to know their name and the story behind their name. So here at Grace Life, we take names very seriously. We hold a very high value and prize them. They are of great worth. As you would know, when you enter on a Sunday morning, you get something that looks like this. This is called a connection card. If you've ever been a first or a second time guest, which you would have been at some point, you would have ticked one of these boxes, either a first time guest or a second time guest. We have a team there downstairs right now compiling and composing and collecting all these names together. On a Monday, we have an intimate prayer group. It's a group that we've put together that can pray through all the specific prayer requests, because we don't want you just to be doing this for no reason. That would be a waste of time. So we get that message. We have five in a week. So on a Monday, the first and second time guests are put onto that group, and they are prayed for by name. We pray for those names. Then on the back, you would see there's the space for six names. So those, we classify that as our SOS, save our souls. So on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, it's your specific prayer requests. So say you're praying for Aunt Mary's gammy ankle or Craig's sore ankle. You put that down there, or for revelation, or for your prodigal son, whatever it is, or for your health, whatever. Those specific prayer requests on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Your name with your specific prayer request. And then on a Friday, we gather together all the names, the SOS names that have been on those six ones. Do you know that it sometimes equates, this is from last weekend, there's the first and second time guests. It equates to two A4 pages. There we go. There's the full page. There's the back page of those names. There we go. Starting over there. So it's two full A4 pages. Those names. I'm a bit old school. I like to print out. Sometimes I like to tick the names so I'm not repeating and going over them, but, you know, and following in sequence. But you know what's so amazing about those names, and what excites me the most, is when I see whole family groups repeated. An entire family, their names being repeated a little bit further down. You know what that presupposes? That there's more than one person praying for that entire family. How beautiful is that? I don't know who Zelda is, but there were three people that put her name down on last weekend's prayer requests. Zelda, God's got your name. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it incredible? I know the names I'm putting on here, and I will not stop putting my names down on those, on, because I know that I want them declared into the heavenlies. It's a prophetic thing for them to come into salvation. These aren't just names. These are treasures. These are people with a destiny, with a story, with a purpose and a plan for their lives. These are world changers on here. They might not know it. They might be living in the pavement at the moment, but they are destined for the palace because Jesus sees them as worthy. So who of you desire to be used by God? Who of you want to help someone? Who of you want to point someone to Jesus? Change someone's life. Change your neighborhood. Change the world. All of those things equate to love. Friends, love starts with a name. We're going to do those things by getting to know people's names. A lot of people want to say, I want to be used by God. But we don't know people's names, or we don't really want to even make the effort to, because it's just going to be a schlep, you know? We don't know the name of our neighbors, or the grocers, or the baristas that we see on a daily basis. Or, I mean, if you do that, if you get a delicious cappuccino every single day. Some people are so mission-bent on going past a border to get their passport stamped to Maputo or Mozambique, and we love those things. Outreaches are amazing, but guess what? We can start outreaches in our very road. Our neighbors. During COVID, when I was praying with my two neighbors, we got a little geographical map, and we prayed over each household. If we knew only the wife's name, or if we knew what their surname was, we prayed over that household just for God to be with them and protecting them over that time. It's a spiritual dynamic. So I want to invite you today. Who's up for a challenge? Okay, we've got four people. Okay, who's up for a challenge? Okay. And I know you game. I saw that even with the Fueled series. That was incredible. I felt like it certainly was a church-wide campaign. I feel like we surged forward together, friends online. I know you guys were on there too. It was amazing. I actually was quite disappointed when yesterday was the last devotion. I think I'm going to go right to the back of start at the beginning again. So as a community, this is our challenge. Within the next 6 hours, within the course of today, get to know someone's name, someone in your immediate community. Are you up for it? Amen. It's not unreasonable. It's not an unreasonable request, okay? Get to know someone's name and then remember their name. So it's going to take effort and it's going to take intentionality. But I can promise you now, it's going to be worth it. Because over time, we're going to start to notice something. We're going to notice that when we say that person's name, they're going to perk up because they've been acknowledged. It's the door. It's the door of being able to learn more about their story and where they've come from. And then you'll be able to pray more specifically into their life and their circumstance and their family and their situation. So, yes, of course, you can start here in the tea and coffee time, but Spa is also an amazing place. Now, there's something about Spa. The one time we had an event happening, and I needed to order a couple of platters, and so I gave my name to the lady, and she wrote it down. Do you know that ever since there, doesn't matter what distance or proximity we are away from each other at Spa, every single time she sees me, Dawn! Hey, Dawn! And you want to know something? Do you know how it makes me feel? Special. You're wrong. Special. It makes me feel special. I'm acknowledged. She knows me by name, and she remembered my name, and she calls me out, and we have that little connection. So vice versa. If you're going to say that to somebody else, they're going to know that they're special and remembered and known. So here's the challenge again, just so you, in case you missed it. Hold tight. Within the next 6 hours, within the course of today, get to know somebody's name and remember it. Maybe next week, you're going to fill that name in on the back of your connection card, if you've got space. I mean, I know I've got my 6 regulars, you know, but maybe you can swap out and change, swap and change, you know, alternate in the weeks to come. And when you, okay, so that's the doorway. That's the first step, getting to know their name. Now the next step, okay, and no pressure, but here's a part of the challenge. The next step, whether in this interaction, sometimes I like to strike while the iron's hot because you might not know if you're going to get to see that person again, but perhaps either in this interaction or next, we can start to ask about their story. Now that you know their name, you ask about their story. Don't have to. They're not going to tell you their life story. And sometimes you can just pick up on a point and guide them. And sometimes, if you know, depending on your time frame, you can hone in on something. And when they've spoken about something that's affecting them, here's the next step after that. So you get to hear their story. The next step is getting to pray for them. What can I trust? Okay, so what's a little bit of your story? Vanessa, I want to pray for you right now because I can't let this day go past without. I saw you on crutches, so it's not anything prophetic. I know that obviously you've got an injury. I want to pray for healing for you right now. So this is a great opportunity. It's not when you see someone, if they've got like their arm in a sling, it's not like you're guessing something. Clearly, they've got something wrong with them. That's their story. They've got an injury. What are you going to do? You can say something. So is it your knee? Father, I want to thank you for healing right now. Whatever is happening in Vanessa's knee, Lord God, that you would bring healing with these ligaments and tendons, Lord God, that you would heal muscle, bone, and sinew right now by your power. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed, Lord God. So I declare supernatural, divine, speedy recovery in Jesus' name, that she will run and not grow weary. She would walk and not faint, and she would be able to walk into the destiny of the things that you have purposed and planned for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There we go. So that is an opportunity. So you see something. That is a door. What is your name? Oh, I see that you've got a sling on your arm. You got an injury? Can I pray for that? You know, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the power healing of prayer. And I want to stand with you and I pray. They might not even be a believer, but you want to know something? You might pray for them and they might have a tangible manifestation of an experience and encountering with God, because you encounter God. So through you, they get to encounter God. And this could be the moment that changes their life. They could walk away and experience divine healing. Last week, we had a testimony when we were sharing about Shana and her healing. Someone went home. There was the invitation in the prayer meeting on last Sunday night. If you've got an injury or a pain or something, Shane is going to pray over us. Oh, and I actually saw the person put their hand on their shoulder and they were praying. The next day, they woke up and they suddenly realized that pain that had been persistent for ages and ages and ages was gone. They woke up with healing because by faith, they received it. So who knows what could happen in the shopping center? Somebody's destiny could be changed. Something could shift. Let me not get carried away. I tell you, friends, so when you can pray for them, or you can go away and say, Lord, you know, Father, just guide me with that person, remembering their name. And if there is a next step that you're supposed to take from there, well, great, you know, and hold on to those things. But the first step is simply knowing their name in preparation for your next interaction. I have had countless interactions in shopping centers, and I see them. They are God-ordained opportunities. I thought they were inconveniences to my diary because I forgot to get the peanut butter yesterday when I was at Oxford. Now I must pop into Pick n Pay and get the peanut butter, because who can survive a day without peanut butter? I can't. But anyway, and I go in there and I'm thinking it's such an inconvenience, and then I bump into someone and I start talking to them and they, oh, please just pray for my daughter. This and that, maybe there's a particular lady I schooled with, her daughter. She often asked me to pray for her. And you know what? That is a moment where you get to stand with them and say, let me pray right now. Because why say, okay, I'll pray and then go away? Because I can promise you now, I've tried it. I generally forget. And then the next time I see them, I'm like, I didn't pray for that. So just pray right there and then. And you just stand with them. Lord, I just pray for so-and-so's daughter. Maybe you can, however it is. And that is a moment. And you know what the best thing to do when you're praying for someone? Just shut your eyes. Then you can't see who's looking at you. Doesn't matter what's going on. The person could be looking at you like, I can't see that because my eyes are closed. And do you know how many times I've opened my eyes and they've got tears streaming down their cheeks? Countless times. It was worth it. And I go, it's better. It was meant to be. And I see God divinely interweaving these times. I literally walk away from those moments knowing exactly that I needed to be there and see that person and have that encounter. See, that's why we need to be encountering God, so others can encounter God through us. I've loved this Fueled series because what it did was it equipped us to create margin in our lives so that we can incorporate these interactions. See, Jesus was only passing through Jericho. That wasn't his destination. He was passing through. But because he had margin in his life, he had enough time to stop, meet, greet, eat, and take a seat with Zacchaeus. You like that, Maureen? That was his opportunity. And I know, friends, we got enough going on in our lives. I know that. I got enough going on in my mind for 10 people, okay? Let alone somebody else's baggage or their issues or their problems and their brokenness. But friends, what we get to see is that a name is just the beginning, and it's putting others ahead of ourselves, which is exactly what Jesus lived out, leaving a lasting feeling and effect with them, leaving them feeling that they're known, that they're acknowledged, that they're more than just a face, they mean something, and that they're embraced. Everyone wants to get to know the name of the successful person, the rich businessman, or the person who's, you know, of high standing in society. But often the person that Jesus was most focused on were those who were despised, dejected, rejected, and even those who had nothing to offer society. In fact, they were leeches to society. The nameless people, that's who Jesus pursued. Jesus would tell us, get to know that person's name. Ask about their story and pray for them, because love starts with a name. Learning a name is the entry point, the door into somebody's life, if you would. That initial point from where a relationship can grow. And I tell you, even if you forget their name, you might remember, hey, how's your son doing? How's he doing? Is he okay? Because you care, because you want to know. Because you've been carrying other people's burdens, as it says in Galatians 6, verse 2. It says, share each other's burdens. This fulfills the law of Jesus. So you see now how love starts with a name. So you good for the challenge? All good? Okay. Getting to know someone's name. No matter who you are or what you do, this is something that we can all do. You and I today. Starting with a name, because love starts with a name. I'd love to invite you, please, to join me in standing. And I'll just pray for you for boldness and courage. It's going to take boldness and it's going to take courage. But guess what? It gets easier. It really does. It might be awkward those first couple of times. You might feel like you're being intrusive. The lady behind the till, and you say to her, sorry, what is your name? I mean, she's only served you, 100 times? And you still don't know her name. So it might feel a little bit awkward, but you know what? The next time when you come back and say, thanks, Mary, it's going to mean the world to her. She's going to feel so loved. So Father, I just pray right now, why don't you just open your hands if you want to, just for a boldness and a courage. Father, won't you just fill us with boldness and courage as we learn people's names, as we step out to open that door to hearing their stories so that we can pray for them, so the manifest glory and power of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven could be made manifest. If we are meant to be your mouth, your eyes, your hands, and your feet, Lord God, equip us with boldness and courage for this, that we would never miss opportunities, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I just felt, while I was preparing this, I just felt that there are some of you here today. I know what this feels like. I had a name that was full of accusation, a name that carried a lot of shame. But you know what? The accusation was covered up by his acquittal. He acquitted me. He acquits us. As soon as you give your life to Jesus, your name is clear. But maybe you have been taunted by the devil, where he has tried to bring accusation and tried to remind you of the shame attached to your name. Today, God wants to clear that, give you a clear slate. His mercy's on you every single morning. So if that is you, why don't you just respond, just say, Lord, that's me. Maybe if you're going to just open your hand, everyone just keep your eyes closed. If that is you, just open your hand and say, I'm tired of having the accusation of where my name has defamed because of my own doing, the things that I chose to do, the silly, doff decisions that I made, where there's shame attached to my name. Lord, I pray that you would just come and clear my name right now. I feel like there was almost like a spiritual blacklisting that you feel that you've had. A spiritual blacklisting. Oh, it's good for them, but I'm too bad, God. I'm too bad. You're not. He is clearing your name today. There is an acquittal happening today. He's wiping your slate clean. Thank you, Jesus. You're born again, name cleared, no matter what you've done. You're cleared. You're called out, chosen, and preferred amongst the crowds. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just pray that you would do that right now. You would just lasso people's hearts right now that have felt so guilty and so shameful for the things that they've done in their past. Thank you that that's, our past does not dictate our future. In Jesus' name.